ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for me and you to hang out and drink together, and that's what we do. We just hang out and we drink together. We talk about whatever is going on in our lives, in the beer scene, in the drinking scene here in Cincinnati, whatever it is. We do it here. And it is best enjoyed live. I know there are some of you that watch it afterwards or listen to the podcast feed. It's more fun live, and you should always tune in live. We do this every Monday night around 9:30-ish p.m. ish. It all depends on life because sometimes things don't always work out the way you expect them to. That does, however, make your drink taste better when you finally are able to fire up the show. I'm glad to have you guys here. This is a very special episode. As you can see in the background, we are joined by, we're not joined, although I do have a whole tower of dicks here, so I guess kind of we are. We're joined by our good friends from Dick's Potato Chips. This show is brought to you by Dick's. If you're watching this and you're hanging out with me, I'm assuming that you're a lot like me and you really enjoy things that taste good and are fun. And Dick's is both of those things. And that's why coming together with them and helping to make this show happen is a perfect a collaboration, a perfect teaming up of like-minded people. Dick's currently has three different flavors of potato chips. You've got your maybe my favorite. Right here, we have the hot and spicy Dick's. We have, if you look back here at the tower, we have salty Dick's up at the top. I don't know if you can see that. Salty Dick's up here at the top. And then barbecue, sweet and smoky. And they are all absolutely delicious. If you haven't tried them, get out to your favorite retailer and try them. I get mine at Jungle Gyms. It's close to me. Higher Gravity also carries them. There's a lot of bars. You can sit down at Binsky's and have a shot of Malort and Dick's. It's a match made in heaven. That's actually probably the only pairing I would not recommend, Malort and Dick's. Just eat the Dick's by themselves. But seriously, thank you to Dick's for being a part of the show and helping to make this happen. Julia says, my on-air light isn't on. I know. I didn't charge the light. if you want to get some Dick's and you don't want to get out to your favorite retailers because it's cold outside, and I respect that. It is very cold outside. You can get on their website. Go to dickspotatochips.com, and you can order them on the website, and they'll deliver them right to your doorstep. Dick's at your door. A big box of Dick's to eat a bag of Dick's. Big box of bags of Dick's. It's wonderful. Thank you to Dick's. I really, really, really appreciate them being a part of this show. There is something else that's a big part of the show. Drinking. Let me get my fun little schnapps glass. Because we're going to kick this off with one I have never tried before. I don't know if you saw it hiding back here in the background. I did pre-chill this too. I've never had it. I don't know much about it. It is Bekarovka. Bekarovka. This is a Czech herbal liqueur, according to the package. This is the original. It's in a really cool, like, kind of thin, skinny bottle. I don't know how well you can see that on camera, but it's like kind of like a big flask is what it feels like. It says the original Bekarovka, and there's some kind of crazy like Illuminati stuff on here. I don't know what that means, but some kind of cool symbol. Jan Becker from the Czech Republic. That's the guy that invented this in 1807. That's what it says on there. There's a really crazy kind of history. We'll go through all that. 38% alcohol by volume, herbal liqueur. Let's see. Oh, there's a description on here. It says, oh, there's a little QR code too, but that's not from 1807. It says, a delicious spirit with a unique taste coming from the heart of Europe. Bekarovka has been produced since 1807 in Karlovy Vary, Carlsbad, from a secret mixture of herbs and spices like KFC. Traditionally consumed neat, cooled to below 6 degrees Celsius. I don't know if this is that cold, but it's cold. For refreshment, Bekarovka is excellent. Mixed with tonic or other soft drinks, Bekarovka, the original taste from the heart of Europe. All right, we're going to dive into this. Josh says it looks like a Tanqueray bottle. Josh, let's see. Marco says you're going to have that bottle so long that you're going to leave it to someone in your will. I don't know. If this tastes like I'm anticipating it's going to taste like, I might drink it quicker than you think. We're getting a nice healthy pour here. It is not as clear as I thought it was going to be. It looks kind of clear in the bottle. And yeah, you can't really tell. It kind of looks like pee, if I'm being honest. All right, we'll put this back here. There we go. All right, let's see. I can already smell like a little bit of licorice. There's definitely like an herbal scent in the air. Oh yeah, it reminds me of Underberg, which Bekarovka is the town that it's from. Carlsbad is right on kind of the border of what was the Czechoslovakia, which is when it was invented there. It was Czechoslovakia. We'll tell the story. On the Czech border with Germany. And Underberg, I believe, is from Germany, but I think that they are fairly similar products, except this is bright and clear. It's like it almost looks like a barrel-aged gin, just like it just saw a little bit of a barrel. Cloves, maybe? Yeah, definitely cloves. It smells kind of like wintertime, which most of the schnapps and the digestifs and all that I really enjoy tend to kind of smell like Christmas to me. And this does. This smells like Christmas. All right. Let's see. Bottoms up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, big kind of piney. It's kind of like a pine cone. There's like an earthy, woody thing. Pine, definitely cloves, a lot of cloves. Maybe some like cinnamon, some sweet cinnamon. Ooh, that's good. Yeah, I could see this being really good. Maybe not. I wouldn't do tonic, I don't think. But like is a tall drink with like soda over ice with a bunch of this. Yeah, that's that's fun. It's really similar to that Alpine schnapps that we drank, a couple months ago. That's wonderful. That's not gonna stick around here in the house very long. Like I mentioned, it's a digestif, which the Europeans especially are very consumed with their digestion, and it's something that we don't really do here in the United States as much, but they have this whole category of spirits, some that you drink before your meal to kind of stimulate your appetite, and then some after your meal to kind of settle your stomach, and this is one that typically would be for after your meal to settle your stomach. I love that. I have notes. A little bit of the history. First sold in 1807, as we saw, it was sold as a remedy for stomach illnesses. Digestive. let's see. It was... when did it first get to the United States? It doesn't say it in here. I believe it was in the 30s. It was early. It was in the 1800s that it first started selling here in the United States. And then after... Prohibition. As soon as Prohibition goes away, it starts becoming way more popular than it was before.
why? I don't know. Drinkers post-prohibition were very strange, I guess. Man, this is good. Hang on. Oh, yeah, I can get behind that. It becomes, anyways, way more popular after Prohibition until you have World War One. Post World War One, the state, the Czechoslovakia at the time was a communist country. The government took over the company, and this was one of those kind of spirits, like Jägermeister or any of those fun kind of European herbal liqueurs that Marco wants to know if it hit the East Coast first or come up from the Gulf of America. I don't know. It was one of those herbal liqueurs that the recipe was a secret. There was only a couple people that knew what it was, kept on a handwritten piece of paper, top secret, really kind of fun lore. The communist government then takes the company, forces the owner, now the guy that invented, like his granddaughter or somebody, to give them the recipe, it remained state owned until the 90s, when it finally became reprivatized. It's now owned by Pernod Ricard, a large kind of booze conglomerate, but they have a new distillery that's a lot nicer. The original distillery, though, they still have, and it's like a museum for the stuff or something. It's really cool stuff. What does this say it tastes like? Nice, sweet, forward flavor, according to some chef in the Czech Republic. It finishes with a bit of bitterness from the cloves, and then a little bit of licorice comes through from the anise. That's pretty dead on. It is not at all kind of as overwhelming as some of the other bitter liqueurs that are out there. Like, this is like actually kind of super refreshing. But it's piney. It's like a pine cone. That's a winner. Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna crack open a beer too, because I'm not gonna sit here and sip this all night. I did not rinse the glass. Hopefully this is not disgusting. All right. Let's get this out of the way. From Westside, this is their Italian style Pilsner. It's a dry hopped lager. 5.2%. It says Italian style Pilsners are typified by a saturated hop character thanks to having hops added directly to the fermentation tank. It is pale gold with a white head. Crackery malt notes support a lush floral and slightly fruity hop character thanks to dry hopping with German Callista hops. All right, let's get this guy in the glass. This may or may not, I cannot confirm nor deny, be a slight hint, at next week's brewcast, which I recorded today. And no, it was not at Westside. We'll leave it at that. Slight hint, like I said. All right. Oh, yeah. The room is filling with a new aroma now. Gone are the cloves. In its place, floral, earthy. A little bit of tropical fruit, maybe. First thing I got right when the can was open, which... Hold on for this one. I got a little bit of a sulfur note, which comes from a properly lagered beer, with proper lager yeast, I should say. It doesn't stick around long, though. It goes away. That is a pretty beer. I'll just put that there. I need I need to come up with some kind of solution to put the drinks so that they're still in the frame while I'm drinking them. Like something, right? That's too far away, though. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Maybe right here. We'll scoot these back for now, even though you can't see them. All right, let's look at that. That is a pretty beer in the Fathead's glass, which we'll talk about Fathead's a little bit today. It's look, you can see me right through it. It's the way a lager should look. Big fluffy head on there. Mmm. Oh yeah. Light, crisp body. Not a lot of malt character, just those big kind of juicy, earthy hops just kind of come in and smack you. Man, that's good. That's a good beer. Speaking of good beer, let's dive into today's first topic, and it's not a happy one. As you can see by the thumbnail for tonight's show, I'm a little bit of a sad gnome because we got to talk about Humble Monk. And I forgot to make artwork for it. Humble Monk has made an official announcement. There's been a lot of rumors of people trying to understand what's going on with this new location in Northside on Coleraine Avenue and if they were still going to be opening their doors at some point. After a Kickstarter that they put together, trying to kind of get some cash rolling in to kind of make this spot happen. There was a lot of things that needed to happen with the building, and it all has kind of fallen apart now. Let's pull up the statement. I don't know how well you guys can read this up on the screen. It says, in lieu of Valentine's Day, we are updating you on the status of Humble Monk Brewing since we were forced to move out of 1641 Blue Rock Street in June of 2024 due to a commercial real estate developer outpricing us on our building, a building that is now sitting there empty, for the record. Master Brewer Mike headed the move with the help of family, friends, and customers and rebuilt the brewery at the 4100 Coleraine Avenue location for the state of Ohio to approve brewery and liquor permits at the end of December. Recently, the City of Cincinnati building inspectors rejected our facility layout and made it not cost beneficial to continue the brewery in the City of Cincinnati. It also forced us to reflect and confirm that Mike and I can no longer continue the brewery. We are blessed that our humble brewery left the Cincinnati community missing us, as well as left our customers and ourselves with wonderful memories and creating friendships. We will shut down the Belgian Ford Brewery in 2025 and cherish the memories of creating great-tasting craft brews. Thank you for being our Valentine, Mike and Alicia Kemp, Humble Monk Brewing Company. I don't like this. I don't like it at all. It doesn't feel good. I get it. This is a brewery that we did have a little bit of kind of advanced warning that they were struggling. This move, we knew it wasn't going to be an easy move for them to make. It wasn't going to be cheap. But it's still, I don't know. It's not shocking. Shocking is not the right word because, like I said, we had some kind of preparation for this. It just sucks. It just sucks. It's like they're good people. Their beer has kind of gone through a fun evolution throughout their time being open. It just kept getting better, and I had a lot of high hopes for what this new location would bring for them, both from like a comfort side of being able to have a space that after kind of learning all of the things that they've learned that they could do in the way that they wanted to do it. I had a lot of high hopes for it, and it really sucks reading a post like this. It's always sad. I say this every time somebody closes. It's always sad when a brewery closes, but sometimes it's just not fun. Julia is suggesting a dedicated camera and an inset image as a static part of the show, maybe in the bottom banner. Maybe. That's an awful lot of work. The dedicated image would be a nice solution if I plan far enough ahead to know what it is I'm going to be drinking. Sometimes I make the decision as I'm walking into the studio. Leo says that Mike and Alicia are the nicest people in the world. Yes. Maybe there's like some denial happening with me still too, because I refuse to believe that this is it, that they are just done completely, that there isn't some kind of chance that they'll find either another location or a way to make this location work. I don't know. It's really hard to go 8 months without making any money from your business and still justify opening those doors back up. That's tough. It's possible, but it's tough. It remains to be seen, and I'm hoping that I can get a chance to sit down and talk to them and get something kind of a little more cohesive with my thoughts together about this, because I'm still struggling. Marco says, so do they own the space or not? No, I do not believe that they own the space. I could be wrong, but I do not believe they own it. I could be wrong, though. Northside needs another place like them. The city needs another place like them or them, especially with this original focus of what they wanted to do with kind of Belgian inspired beers. Hang on, I'm burning up. One of the things that I've thought about a lot with a city like Cincinnati is that as we keep growing, and as we get more breweries, it enables like hyper focused breweries. You know, we've heard Urban preach their idea of get rich in your niche, which I don't like to think of it worded that way. But I do think that finding your piece of this idea of craft beer is super important in a city like Cincinnati, or on shelves if you're trying to do that. And we've got some really, really great places that know exactly who they are and have kind of figured out that niche for themselves. There's a lot of, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of room for improvement for people to hyper-focus on those niches. But I think that finding a place that can be a Belgian-focused or Belgian-inspired thing is super important. And Esoteric is doing a great job. Esoteric always keeps several really great Belgian styles on tap, but I think we still need a little bit more, my personal opinion. And they, man, they were just making some really great beers there at the end. They had a Helles that was great, a dark Czech lager that was amazing, just really, really good stuff. Like it's already been mentioned, the ownership, Mike and Alicia, were such good people. And you know, there's without going too into details, like there are still lots of people in this industry here in Cincy or not that just aren't great people. Like it doesn't feel great to support them. Doesn't always feel bad, but sometimes it just doesn't, like, you don't get a good feeling from them. And then there are people like them, or like Betty and Bob at Fibonacci. There are some people that just make you feel great about supporting them. So I don't like it. Again, I refuse to believe that that this is the end, although they're very clear that it is. I refuse to believe it. I'm going to be stubborn and say that there's still a chance. Somebody will figure something out. That's where I'm going to go with it. It's just sad. I don't like, I know that like on the internet, especially on the internet, negativity is what people like to see and people like to click on and people like to read it and talk about it and gossip about it. And I get it. I just don't like it. It doesn't make my day feel good. It doesn't make me feel good. I like happy beers, not sad beers. Anyways, I don't want to keep dwelling on it for too long. I will have something written at some point, trying to get my thoughts together a little bit better and kind of what this means, what we're losing with No Humble Monk, and where somebody can kind of fill those gaps and how you fill those gaps, because it does leave gaps. All right, let's do some label approvals. Maybe I'm trying to be better about not letting label approvals get too out of hand. And I'm trying to keep them. I'm for my own sake. I'm trying to pull labels on a very regular basis, and then when the folder gets full enough that there's some stuff or something really exciting that I want to talk about, using that time then to jump on and share them with you guys. Not every week, obviously, but frequently, we'll say. anyways, let's jump into these, because there is some stuff that, man, I want to talk about. All right, let's start here with Fretboard. All right, Changes in Latitude. This has been on tap in the tap room. It's a key lime lager, good beer. Can we talk about the artwork? the branding has not shifted too much. It still is pretty true to what it's always been. And I'm kind of loving this. I'm loving some of the recent labels that have come through, the new Fuji labels and that kind of stuff that we've shown on here. It's great. It's beautiful. It is one of those labels that you just want to stick on your wall. For anybody that doesn't know, back here behind me is a label wall. There's also a label door out in the other room. There's also an entire... So I have a stage in the corner of the basement, and I'm currently making the entire surface of the stage beer labels. Because what else do you do with them? When you see artwork that you're just like, oh, that looks cool, or it's beautiful, or whatever it may be, I just have to save that somehow. This is one that would fall into that category, that you just want to stick on something. And yeah, this will be on my stage at some point. And then every time we play any kind of song that is summery or islandy, I'll just stand on this label. Julia says, make magnets out of them. Yeah, that's great. I don't have a lot of spots to stick magnets. That's the problem. We have the fridge upstairs, and that's covered with drawings of the dog. It's just all drawings of the dog now. There's dogs drawn all over. The door in the basement down here, you can stick magnets on that, and it's pretty well covered with all kinds of goofy magnets. That's about it. All of my fridges down here have like glass doors on them. I'm pointing like you look, you can see. They have glass doors, so they don't take magnets. I love my garage fridge, and the sides of the fridge are magnetic. The whole front of it is like, it looks like stainless steel, but it does not. It's not magnetic. I don't know what it's made out of, but it does not take magnets. And so like, I can't stick magnets on the front of the fridge, which is fine. I could just stick the labels on there. I'm guessing that my oldest beer fridge, the tiny beer fridge that now is for like, Jägermeister and, meat, the meat fridge, as I call it, the, tubular sausage fridge, tubular meat fridge. That's probably magnetic, but when I was in, probably college, I guess, I stuck labels on it, so it's got old beer labels on it, which are now, like, I'm not going to cover them up with new ones. So I don't know. Marco says, what about your garage door? That might actually work. Yeah. The inside of the garage door. I think my wife would frown on the outside of the garage door. But yeah, I could do the inside of the garage door. That's actually a great idea, Marco. Marco has his first great idea. Anyways, yeah, I'm excited about this beer. Also, the style. I don't always need lime in my beer, but I'll be damned if in the summer it doesn't taste good. So, yeah, I'll knock some of these back. These will definitely feel cooler for me this summer. Okay, this one we got to talk about. I love Little Kings. I love Little Kings so much, and I recognize a can is a better serving vessel for beer, especially a cream ale. I get it. The King can, a 16-ounce can of Little Kings. I've talked about this many times in the past, or not many, when previous ownership put 16-ounce cans of Little Kings out. I might have ranted and raved about it a little bit. I don't think it belongs in a big can. It belongs in tiny little cans, maybe. You do some little 7-ounce cans. I can get behind that. You remember when Urban did the little what do they call them? The wine beer hybrid things. What were those called? Somebody tell me what those were called. When they did those tiny little cans. That's what Little Kings should be in, not a big 16-ounce can. I say all this, and I'm going to buy it, and I'm probably going to consume it a bit because it is more Little Kings. It's a better serving vessel for Little Kings. I need to see it in person, but just looking at the simplicity and the bright, kind of bold, just Little Kings artwork, it's probably going to look pretty good. I don't know. I'm torn, I guess, is what I'll say about it. Julia says astronaut food. Yeah, astronaut food's in small cans, but no, they had were the little wine ones, were they, maybe they were bottles. No. The little bottles were the dinosaur beers. Where's Elijah when you need him? He would know. No, there was like they did a whole series of like, it was like, mostly grape, but brewed like beer. I don't remember. Julia says Fruit Blood was in little bottles for Beer Vent. Yeah, and they all their dinosaur beers are now the latest way they were released were in tiny bottles. No, they definitely had little cans, and I know Astronaut Food definitely came in little cans. That's a good example. Matri, we saw a label a couple weeks ago that was very orange and blue. Marco says, I would buy it if it wasn't a diacetyl bomb. I would probably buy it often. Going back to Little Kings, full disclosure, I have definitely had diacetyl-ridden more lime beers. I have not had that problem yet with Little Kings, personally. I'm not saying that other people maybe haven't, but I've not experienced it. We saw a Sway label a couple weeks ago that was very orange and blue, very clear what it's for, and it's out and about now. I've seen it around. I'm assuming this is the exact same Sway, orange and blueberry, just branded differently to fit in a variety pack or wherever it may be that they're selling it that is not during the soccer season, if you catch my drift. This is not soccer branded, but I think it's the same stuff. I don't, Sway is good, but I don't get excited about stuff like this. I mean, if you put it in front of me in the summer, I might get excited then, but looking at the label, I just, all right, it's another Sway. Speaking of more lime beers, returning their Pitch Pilsner. This is one that I have had that has had a bit of diacetyl issue. I've also had it where it didn't, so whatever. Marco says, or Lightstruck. Yes, Lightstruck is a risk you're running if you put it in green bottles, no matter what. We know that. It's worth the risk for me, and I almost always Like there's only been a few times where I did not buy my Little Kings by the case. I'm not going and buying like one Little King out of, off of a shelf. If I'm at a bar, I'll get Little Kings. Specifically, I drink Little Kings when I go to Arnold's. I always have at least one Little King. When I go to, sometimes if I'm at the Bay Horse, I'll get a Little King. Where are my other Little Kings? I know there's like at least one or two other places that when I go there, I'm always getting a Little King. I love them. I think they're fun. But yeah, you might get them light struck. In those bars, you're good. But if you're buying it off a shelf in a store, yeah, you're running the risk. Okay, this is a fun one. This is a throwback. So Rheingeist shifted all of what was Cidergeist into RG Bevs a couple years ago. Wowie became Wowie Colada. And now they're doing a limited release probably for the summertime of, I guess, OG Wowie. Pineapple, passion fruit. It's not a cider. It's a beer. Oh, there we go. Julia says Penske's. Yep. That's it. I always get Little Kings of Penske's. although I've heard some other fun ideas for some things that might be going to Penske's. Some breweries that might really want their beer on a Penske's that I might consider drinking over Little Kings. We'll see. I don't know if that was on this week's Brewcast or not, but we definitely talked about it. that tells you who it is. let's see. Yeah, Wowie. I never loved Wowie. It's fine, but I know there's probably a lot of people that are going to be excited about that. This one... not only is it a style that I love, I like Pilsner. West Coast Pilsner is something I might have an issue. Justin says that light struck, in quotes, can also be created using cluster hops. Experienced this down in a small craft brewery that only served via serving tanks, no bottles. Did some research, asked if they use cluster. Bingo. That's great to know. There was a beer not that long ago that I was getting a lot of light struck stuff out of that I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. Where was that? Oh man, I can't remember. I can't remember anything. I don't know if this is like an age thing or if this is a product of becoming over reliant on technology over time, but I just cannot remember anything anymore. If I don't write it down, it's not sticking around very long, and I can't recall certain things. I can get there usually, especially if I know I have it written down somewhere. I can find out how to access that, but I can't remember. So this is Beverly Pils, West Coast style Pilsner. I have a little bit of an issue with the style, West Coast Pilsner. I don't know what the West Coast of Pilsen looks like, but I'm pretty sure it was not the hops that I'm assuming this is. This West Coast Pilsner is as crispy as they come. Bright, citrusy hops give way to balanced malt profile. And finish as dry and clear as a sunny SoCal sky. Sing it with us, Beverly Pils. That's what I want to drink. Yeah. All right. I love the branding. I think it's absolutely brilliant. There's got to be somebody else that has made this beer before name. I will drink this. I don't love, I shouldn't say it that way. IPAs are not my go-to style almost ever. But that's not to say that I don't like hops. That's not to say that sometimes like a good hoppy beer is not exactly what I crave. Case in point, Italian style Pilsner, I love them. But and Julia says, love the Weezer tie in there. Josh and I were singing that before we knew it was on the label. Yeah, this is going to be a good beer, especially coming from Rheingeist. You know that they've got this one handled. There's a few different ones here from Streetside. Speaking of lime in your beer, this is their Mexican style lager with lime. It's called Back to Lime. It says, Back to Lime is a small batch version of Cerveza Especial with a hint of lime. Still crispy, still delicious, still beer that tastes like beer. This beer just has a touch of lime and acidity. Put that pop in your Cerveza. Cerveza Especial, that is. Yeah. I can do this all summer long. I need more beers like this in my life. And they have several different Mexican style lagers here. This is the OG, I guess, of their Mexican style lager. Cerveza Especial is made from the finest Pilsner and Vienna malts to create a crispy boy worthy of cracking open on Cinco de Mayo. Crisp and bright, this smooth Mexican-style lager is a wonderful beer to enjoy while doing the most interesting things in the world that a person can do. I see what they did there. I see you. I this is it. I like this. This makes me happy, as opposed to the sad news from before. And if this makes me happy, you know that this next one makes me even happier. This is a dark Mexican-style lager. Cerveza Oscura. Not Obscura. Oscura. Oscura. It's hard for me to say for some reason. It's brewed with the finest Mexican dark lager traditions, made with Pilsner, Vienna, and touches of crystal and chocolate malt. This beer is rich in flavor and remarkably smooth. Malty, but still light enough to be refreshing. Enjoy this as your May days turn into nights. Yes, 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 yes. This is my wheelhouse here. I love a good dark Mexican style lager. Love them. And this one, I'm sure I've had this. I've had this. I know I've had this beer before. This is what I need. It's what I need. Yeah, now. Like, I wish I had some of this in my fridge. Taffs. Speaking again to Synbev, we've mentioned them a few times in the labels from this episode. This is a new one, and they are clearly ready to just start cranking on Taffs and keep it coming for us. somebody's got to make some kind of joke there. This is called Wheat Wave Wheat Ale. The smooth American wheat ale with a soft malt base and delightful balance of hops is light, crisp, and refreshing. Every sip feels like pure sunshine. Yeah. Okay. Like, I like a good like American wheat beer, which I'm assuming is what this is. A little bit of body, still light and drinkable. Okay. I like it. Let's see. Urban Artifact. There's a couple good ones here from Urban. Women's Day 2025. They do a Women's Day beer every year. This is American Fruit Tart, Pineapple, Strawberry, and Coconut. Portion of the proceeds are donated to fund International Women in Brewing Scholarship at Cincinnati State. I love it. And then there's a whole little thing on there about the artist from this label. It is a very stark departure from all of their other labels because it's a different artist. I love it. This is a cool one. Again, artwork that you just want to save. This is one that falls into that for me. Mount Giona. It's a dessert fruit ale, which, okay, I don't think that exists, but I guess it does. Tiny cans. See? Look, 8 ounces. 8 ounce can. This is what Little King should be in. So this kind of falls into line with those little cans. It says, developed to showcase natural complexity and sweetness, the dessert fruit ale, which I don't think is a real style, but is a decadent delight brewed with real figs, pears, and golden raspberries. This unique dessert style brew is an adventure worth summiting and savoring. Mount Giona is one of the steepest slopes in the Balkans. The area's rich biodiversity is home to a wide variety of flora and fauna. According to legend, even the demigoddess Selene once drove her moon chariot to visit a shepherd living on the mount. How do I get a moon chariot? That's what I need to know. Hey, but look at the artwork. It's beautiful. Maybe that'll go on my garage door. This is the one I wanted to talk about. Fatheads, Urban Artifact, collaboration. Look, it's a Fatheads Urban collaboration. Who in the world would have predicted that? Fruited IPA, passion fruit, mango, guava, and Elora and Estrada hops, 7% ABV. I don't know if you guys have heard about this Fatheads Brewery before. I've heard rumors that they make a heck of a good IPA. And we all know Urban makes a heck of a good fruited beer. So I anticipate that this will be 10 kinds of delicious, maybe even 15 kinds of delicious. I'm curious if it'll be tart at all or if it'll just be straight up fruited IPA, which I would like to see. I would like just straight fruited IPA. I don't want tart. Yeah, I'm excited. So excited about this. Stay tuned. When I hear more details, I will definitely share them with you. And that's it. That's it for our labels. See, that's if I get them done like every 2 or 3 weeks like this, they can just come together nicely and not consume an entire episode. We can still talk about things like Humble Monk closing. I don't like it. See, now I'm sad again. I need more schnapps. Although, I don't think this... Oh, I love this bottle. The shape. I don't think this classifies as schnapps, technically. Who's policing that, though? All right. Let's see if it tastes any different after some beer. Bekarovka. Bekarovka. Okay. Yeah, it's like a happy little winter drink. I don't know what that is about almost all of like the schnapps and digestifs. All of that stuff just for some reason for me makes me feel like a cozy wintertime drinking. That's what it does to me. I don't know why. All right. Cheers. Prost. Bottoms up. Oh, man. It starts out like the beginning as being really, really like light and refreshing, drinkable, and then like there's like this little slight delay where then you get hit with this wave, this big, warm, boozy, woody, clovey, piney wave that just kind of bitter that comes in and just knocks all that away. And oh man, it's good. That is delicious. Yeah, you guys should all get out to your favorite liquor store and get some Bekarovka. Bekarovka. This is the first time I'd ever heard about it. And it's going to be a staple behind my bar from now on. Unless anybody else has anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. There are some really fun episodes of Cincy Brewcast coming. I did record next week's today, so we're going to keep rolling with the new episodes. I have a couple that are in the works that I would love to make happen. Some that are timely to some of the things that we've talked about. Some that I've been trying to book for a very long time, and I would love to get them recorded for you guys. If you ever have any thoughts or ideas of things that you would like me to drink on this show, send me a message, send me an email, send me a DM on whatever platform you like to DM people on, and let me know, and I will seek it out and try to experience it on the show if it's not already hanging out somewhere here in the basement, tucked in a corner. That's kind of where we're at now with booze. There's just bottles tucked in weird little like nooks and crannies because the bar is pretty full. So, yeah, maybe I'll start doing that. I'll just start before the show, just walking and like banging around, and when a bottle falls out of something, I'll just take that, and that's what I'll drink. Also, cannot end the show without another huge shout out to Dick's. Love Dick's potato chips, and I mean that. Like I'm not gonna accept a sponsor, especially of this show. I know that this show is special to a lot of people. It's special to me. I don't take that lightly. And I love dicks, and I really love dicks, and I consume a lot of dicks in my life, and I'm just very happy to bring them on board and have them supporting this idea and helping to kind of make this thing grow. If you want to see dicks grow, you should also support them, and you should shout them out on social media every time you get the chance. You should go to the website. You should buy some dicks. They, with their sponsorship of this show, with sponsorships of any of my shows, YouTube videos, or even blog posts, like there's opportunities for all that stuff. And what that enables is for me to be able to spend money on this. This show, when I designed in my head the Weekly Pint, it was not supposed to cost anything. It was not supposed to be a podcast. It was not supposed to be anything real or structured, and it certainly wasn't supposed to be something that had me going out and buying random bottles of Bekarovka to drink, because that stuff costs money. And having sponsors and supporters to come along and help with the show, it enables me to get stuff like that and to share it with you guys and to experience it. So thank you, Dix. We appreciate you. I love you. I know a lot of people listening to this love you. So we're very grateful. DixPotatoChips.com. And when I get the podcast uploaded and all of the show notes finished up tomorrow, there'll be a link in the show notes. Not tonight. Tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. But it's not very hard to remember DixPotatoChips.com. As bad as my memory is, I can remember their website. Just don't go to anything else that is close to that. DixPotatoChips.com. That's the website. We'll see you guys next week right here. You know where to find this show. It's on Facebook and on YouTube. We also have a podcast feed, so if you want to listen to this in your car on your way to work, you can do that. I don't know why you would, but you can. It's available wherever you like to listen to things, and in most of the places you like to watch things. So Julia says there, link in the comments too. That only works on Facebook, though. You can see the link if you're on YouTube, but you can't click on it because it's not there. And I don't think I have like the live comments set up on YouTube. I don't even know. You can just see it on the screen. It's fine. DixPotatoChips.com. It's not hard. We'll be back next week. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate you. If you really like this or any of the stuff that I do, I mentioned supporting. You don't have to have a company and sponsor a show. You can just go to thegnarlygnome.com/support, and you can support it that way. And it really, really, really does help. That helps immensely, as does just sharing it with your friends. Send the link out. Like if you tomorrow while you're at work, if you think of one of your buddies and you're like, man, you know, my buddy George, man, he really likes to drink. He loves Bekarovka. Share it with him, and that helps. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much. I wonder what happens if you mix Bekarovka, beer, Malort, and then soak a Dick's potato chip in it for like 5 minutes. I wonder what happens. Not gonna do that. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. I'm totally gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.